You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio.
Our next guest is one of the most decorated, which means he's one of the most qualified candidates in the Hall of Fame's class of 2018 semifinalists. Former guard Alan Faneca checked all the boxes during his NFL career, including the Super Bowl win, and he's been a finalist in his first 2 years of Hall of Fame eligibility. Now he's with us again 1 year after he appeared on this program last December. Hey, Alan, thanks so much for rejoining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Alan, as I said, you're one of the most decorated candidates in this class and in last year's class and in the class before that. But you haven't made it to the final 10 in the first 2 years of voting. Question for you. Are you frustrated or perplexed by that? Because, frankly, we are.
It's a little bit like peeking behind the door, and that's what gets you, because you come into town, you do the events, you go to the fundraisers, and then you get the results, and everybody's deserving, right? There's a camaraderie amongst everybody, the finalists that are there, and so you get there, and it's kind of like the peek behind the door, and that's what kind of gets you a little bit frustrating. Is after the fact, because you go to all these things and you meet all the great guys that are in the Hall of Fame, and they're talking about it at the events and the banquets. So that's a little bit that gets to you.
Alan, Will Shields started 223 career games, went to 12 Pro Bowls, was an all-decade choice. As a guard, what does it tell you that this selection committee made a player with his credentials wait 4 years for induction?
Going through the process, I don't know that there's anything that I can like peg as a one shoe fits. A little bit like people are talking about the college playoff scenario and how it's different. We're just finding out the Final Four now. I hear people talk about how it's different every year, and one shoe doesn't fit one system every year. It depends, man. Will's a great guy, and I'm surprised it took him that long to get in, because he had a hell of a career.
We had Tony Boselli on last week, and he said he didn't realize how much of a big deal this was until he was sitting around Saturday before the Super Bowl waiting to hear, and he said he knew it was a knock on the door, and there was a knock on the door, and his blood pressure went up, and it was the maid. And so it really bummed him out. How much of a big deal is it for you?
It's huge. It's humongous. For me as well, my kids are younger, so it's a chance to share a little piece of my career with them. A big moment. So that's definitely a huge thing for me to be able to share that with them. My oldest does remember, but she was young. But my younger two don't really remember much. So that's really big and important for me. But it's definitely gets nerve wracking when we're normally doing something with the kids the last 2 years. We go to the NFL Experience or something, and then it's like, all right, it's time to head back to the hotel room, and that's when the nerves in the whole family start ratcheting up, and the little guys are bouncing off the wall and stuff like that. So it definitely gets a little interesting about the time when they tell you to start expecting a knock.
We're speaking with former guard and now Hall of Fame candidate Alan Faneca on the Talk of Fame Network, and you can find us on the web at talkoffamenetwork.com or on Twitter at Talk of Fame Net. And Alan, as I've said, you've been through that wait twice now. I'm going to ask you the same question we asked Tony Boselli, and it sort of follows what Ron was just talking about. But listeners may not know that while voters are sequestered, while the three of us and 45 others are sequestered the day before the Super Bowl, sometimes for 8 or 9 hours doing the voting, the candidates are in the hall, are in that Super Bowl city awaiting the results. As you mentioned, you're doing something else. You're in the hotel room. You're out at lunch or something else. But you're off in your hotel room. So you talked about the peek behind the door that you get when you're there. Can you give us a peek behind the door to that Saturday? How difficult is that wait? And do you have any stories to tell us from the first couple of years?
So both years we've gone and done the NFL Experience with the kids. And just had a blast, and especially my first year. It was just great to be there, and was just really enjoying the whole process and being there. That it didn't really hit me till it was like, all right, it's time to go back to the room. You know, you got to get dressed and you got to wait for the knock and all this stuff. And that's when it starts to ramp up and get a little stressful. And, you know, my wife Julie knows, and you know, the kids start to know. They know something could happen, and they start getting a little antsy. But my first year, we're back in the room. You know, it's the five of us. I got three kids, and me and the wife, and we're in there, and Julie and I are getting ready for the NFL Honors Show, and the kids are just literally bouncing off the walls. They're trapped in a room and need to be running around town, and they're literally bouncing off the walls while we are trying to get ready for the show. And that stressful moment, and all of a sudden you get the knock. We got phone calls. We didn't get the knock. We got phone calls from people that to wait longer, that it could happen longer. Then it finally came that year. That year, everybody got a knock no matter what. And the knock came. Julie wasn't ready. She was, you know, in the midst of getting dressed, and I was like, "Can I open the door or not? Are you ready for whatever's about to happen on the other side of this door?" You know, because we had seen the footage of the guys running in with the cameras and stuff like that, and she was like, "Just do it." And of course, it was not the knock we wanted, but it's definitely it's an antsy moment that the whole family you know, gets to enjoy. Whereas when I was playing, you know, it was just me in the field, and you know, I'm sure they had their moments, but they're right in the thick of it. They're like field level with us this time.
Alan, guys who finally do make it always preach patience to those waiting in the queue, but isn't that easier to accept once you've already crossed the finish line? And how patient are you?
You know, I guess it's out of your control, and you have to be patient. But I'm definitely sure it is a lot easier to say that once you're on the other side. About every time I bump into Kevin Green, that's the first thing out of his mouth is patience, brother, patience. you know, it's what else are you going to tell the guys that didn't get in, right? I mean, the guys that were in your class that didn't get in. There's really no words that can console, whatnot. There's nothing really that you can say. So that's about as good as it gets. And you know, waiting is waiting, and you know, it's an honor to be in there. You know, I think that question enters a whole nother level when you talk about guys that have been waiting decades that deserve to get in there. That's a whole nother level of that question.
Now, I'm sure, you know, I know as a player, you know, you were a guy who prepared very hard every week for whoever it is you were going to be competing against. Have you prepared at all in this case? Did you study the other guys on the list and say, well, you know, look, this guy's pretty good or that guy was pretty good? Or you just sort of get the list and say, okay, that's it, and there's nothing I can do about it?
You know, my first year I didn't know any better, and I didn't do that until we got there and you start meeting the guys and you start looking around the guys in the room. Last year I did do a little peeking. You know, you just kind of start, you know, stacking, well, whatever. I mean, you just start stacking guys up in whatever kind of, not even in order, but you do start kind of looking at it a little bit, I think, or at least I did. You know, at the end of the day, there is no rhyme or reason, I guess, to, you know, what happens one year versus the next. So it doesn't really do me any good, so I probably won't do it this year.
You know, you could build a pretty good team with that group at offensive line. Boy, the competition is stiff.
Yeah, a lot of O-linemen at the moment. We could start a team in our youth.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a tough question, Alan, but I understand your body of work stands on its own. I understand that. But if you could stand in front of voters like the three of us today, but have 45 others sit also here with the 48, and we do vote this month, and tell us why you should move beyond the top 10 to, you know, the final five, what would you say? I mean, what would you tell us that might convince guys to say, you know what, let's just move this guy where he belongs. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame.
For me personally?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's hard to find stats for offensive linemen. I think especially my time in Pittsburgh, if there was a way to find the percentage of times the ball went behind me minus passing plays, I think the amount of offense that went through me would be staggering compared to every other, you know, offensive lineman or, you know, the next. I don't know how to quantify it or compare it, but I think it would be an astronomical stat to find out how many screens, how many pulling plays that went to the right, but I pulled and was still leading the play, how many runs went right behind me. I think it would be a very large number because the 10 years I was in Pittsburgh, the offense, the run game, and all of our pulling game virtually went through me. So I think if I had a way to get that stat or quantify it, that would be the one I would give.
Alan, in your mind, what does a Hall of Fame guard look like? Is it John Hanna? Is it Gene Upshaw? Is it Will Shields? Is it Alan Faneca? What does a Hall of Fame guard look like in your mind?
You know, I think we all play the game differently, and I think that's a great thing about every position. But, I think we all go about things in our own way, better in space. You know, big, huge guys like Larry Allen, it just road graded and just, you know, literally moved the entire line. That there's lots of different ways that a Hall of Fame guard can look, and it's a case by case, and it's interesting. You watch guys just watching football, and as a fan, and just to see everybody and how they play. And I used to do that when I was playing. You know, you study guys, man. Like you talk about Will Shields. Get him out there watching him, and then I get him out there in a Pro Bowl, man, start picking his brain. We all need as many tools in our pocket as we can put, and to pick up little bits and pieces and put it in our game was always part of how I approached it.
When you watch a game today, do you find yourself sort of drifting to watching the guards? And is there a guy who you particularly like who's playing today?
I don't keep up with the names as well as I did when I played a lot. But I do definitely follow offensive line play, and I definitely love watching the game kind of as I studied. My brother-in-law got me tickets to go to the Steelers-Dolphins playoff game last year, and he really wanted to use his tickets that he got. And I was like, you know, I can get some tickets. And he was like, no, let's do these. And there were this new club section where they closed off the end zone in Pittsburgh. And the seats, you know, some people, you know, might not enjoy the end zone seat, but I loved it.
Alan Faneca, thanks so much for the time, and we will see you in Minneapolis.
Sounds great, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
That's former guard Alan Faneca. Up next, it's the 2-Minute Drill. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.